from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who finds I find podcasting and sleep baffling. And I've said it before, but if there was a way to put baffles into a podcast, I'm baffled at how to do it, but I would do, you know, or overuse the word baffle, or have a bucket of baffles, like that I could raffle off with a cheap rhyme. I would. Why? Well, because it's time for the podcast that puts you to sleep. It's time for Sleep With Me. And here's, this is only important for regular listeners. So if you're new or you're just an occasional listener, don't worry about it. But if you're a regular listener, these are the ways we're able to bring you this podcast free. All right, but Scoot's here, and this is where I talk about, like, just supporting the show. So this is really only for regular listeners. If you count on Sleep With Me or you use Sleep With Me on a regular basis, you're a long-term listener. Like, does Sleep With Me do anything unique for you, right? Is it a part of your life and it's a unique way? Like, when you just discovered the show or it started helping you, you're like, wow, I had no idea this existed, but I was looking for it. And then does it provide something for you? Is it unique and does it provide something? Does it do anything for you? Like, does it help you fall asleep or take your mind off of stuff so you can fall asleep? Or does it keep you company? Does it distract you during the day? So is it unique or somewhat unique? And does it do anything for you? If the answer is yes to both of those, like, how much is that, is that worth anything to you? How much are those things, the unique part and whatever it does for you, worth to you? But the other question is, like, if Sleep With Me went away, like, what would you be willing, like, would that change what it's worth to you? Would it change the value proposition? To get it back, oh yeah, I'd pay $50 a month, and you don't even have a tier at that level. So just think about that. But if any of that resonates with you, don't wait. We really are in a position now where for at least a time, I'm going to have to kind of really work hard to get more people involved in supporting the show. We have the listeners. It's just getting the attention of enough listeners, a small percentage of people, but people that are said, oh, okay, I'll do it now. You just go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus and sign up, support the show. Even if you're not sure, sign up for all the trials are 7 days, and then you could change your mind. But at least then you've done something. You said, yes, it's unique. Yes, it really means something to me. Yes, it does something for me. And no, I don't want to wait. Like, I don't want it to go away. So thanks. Think about that. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Hey, everybody. It's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. This is my favorite part of the podcast. This and the thank yous at the end, because it's so important for me to be able to bring you this podcast for free to millions of people every month. And I couldn't do it without those of you that go out of the way to support the sponsors or support the show. And that's like Jenny, who supported Native Deodorant, and Jody, who supported Brooklyn. And thank you so much. If you support a sponsor like Jenny and Jody did, tag the sponsor in a social media post or send them an email and let me know about it so I can thank you on the Sleepy Supporter Zone, because you're supporting the Sleepy. And if you support a sponsor, particularly some of our new sponsors like Grove and KiwiCo, let me know what you got. I mean, holy cow. I've been washing with that Grove soap, and I'm looking forward to our next delivery from KiwiCo. So let me know when you support a sponsor so I can thank you in the Sleepy Supporter Zone, which is now over. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out in this show. Who are they, Mystery Bard?
Chris Posty Poster Song.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes. Too.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullaby song.
I'm making a podcast.
About writing songs.
It's called As It Happens.
On the day.
And you can find it.
Just search for it.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance. so now on with the show.
Thanks, and don't forget to check out Jonathan Mann's new podcast, As It Happens, how Jonathan writes a song a day. And that's it. What do you say we get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it the bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed and turn out the lights and press play. I'm going to do the rest. You could also get in bed. You don't even have to do those things, believe it or not. Because actually, I don't. Well, I get in bed, my lights are lowered. Well, ideally, they've never been raised. I have like one of those dimmers. But I prefer dim all the time. Because I really don't use I was going to say something about the activity in my bedroom not needing a lot of light. But I said, well, that's too revealing. Yeah, because I'm not doing rocket science in there. Or if I am, it's during the day. That's when all the activities happen in there, is during the work day, because it's work that's happening. So anyway, whatever's keeping you awake, I'd like to take your mind off of that. What I'm going to do is, whatever's keeping, what was I going to say? Okay, because I went off subject there. Get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'll do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, you know, so things you're thinking about, feelings, emotions, physical sensations, it changes in time or temperature or routine, travel, maybe your partner's traveling, maybe, what if, this is one I don't think I've mentioned, because what if you got a bunch of kids over there for a sleepover or something? Or any kind of rambunction, is that a word? I mean, kids can be rambunctious. So is it the act of rambunction and rambunction? So we'll have to come back to that word if I remember. But whatever's keeping you awake, I'd like to take your mind off that. What I'm going to do, or what I propose, is I have a nice safe place set aside here. And it flows right out into your area where you are. So, yeah, let's get that safe and cozy. So I'm going to try to create that safe place. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. Pointless meanders, superfluous tangents, ums and ahs, and those things too. Whatever those two were, those come up a lot. But really what I'm here to do is to keep you company as you fall asleep and to take your mind off of stuff, to barely, some light entertainment, you know? Isn't that something they say in a restaurant? We'll have some light fare. You see, well, this is the kind of restaurant people come to at 2 p.m., so we offer light fare. It's F-A-R-E, by the way. And that's kind of what this podcast is mostly, it's like snackable, I'd say. You say, it's like a snackable buffet. Of course, the only time I'm going to be referred to as a snackable buffet is when I'm doing it myself. So, and when I'm, you know, when I'm kissing my biceps, I say, smoochy, smooch, or kissing my shoulders. That's more relaxing. Kissing my biceps is for comedic effect, or I don't know, when I just need, you know, when I say, well, you're looking frowny over there. Do you need a little kissy-poo? That's not very, that doesn't really go, that kind of talk doesn't go with kissing. You see, well, I've never associated that kind of, I never heard anyone speak to their bicep like they're a kitten. And I'd say, are you sure? Because I could see The Rock doing that. I'm sure it would be more charismatic and funny. But I bet you The Rock is like Rock's buff. Rock's biceps are like Rock's, though. Anyway, so what was I talking about? I'm here to take your mind off stuff and keep you company. Why did I get into kissing myself? I mean, I think that's an important thing. Like I said, let's give everybody if you want to. First, let's roll our shoulders a little bit. Rarely do we have these. What are these? Whatever these are called. Is this an interaction? And then, you know, maybe turn your head slowly side to side. And then to kind of tilt it side to side slowly to the left, slowly to the right. Now maybe take your chin to your shoulder on the right. Great job. Wow, you did that before I even sit. Now to the left. Yes, slowly. Now go ahead and give a little kissy-poo to one of your shoulders. Wait, hold on. I'll do it first so it's not embarrassing. I mean, I had to do it through my shirt, but, you know, maybe your shoulders. Oh, boy. Let's not talk about exposed shoulders. I'll tell you what. To make it more comfortable, I'll do my left one. I'll pull my shirt out of the way. Okay, so I'm back. So how did I go so far off the topic again? Oh, to take your mind off stuff. That's what I do. So if you're new, I guess like you're getting a full sampling of sleep with me early. But so this is a podcast that you don't need to listen to or take seriously. So even though that might have seemed, I mean, self-care is a serious thing. In a little self-effect, how can they talk about self-love and that kind of stuff? They don't say self, what is it called? I forgot what the word was. Affection, right? Why can't you be affectionate to yourself? I think you should be. I mean, I think you probably, they do, but no one, maybe does affection just have too many syllables? They say, well, self-effect, I guess it's just hard to say because that F, there you go. It's just because of the F in self. It would be just as hard to say auto-affection, but I guess it's easier because there's no F. But then you'd say, I'm sorry, what did you say? Oh, yeah, I'm doing a course today, 7 Steps in Auto-Affection. And you'd say, what is that, some sort of new, does that have to do with my internal biome? Well, in some sense it does, because I think the healthier biome is probably, but I don't have any facts to back that up. But actually, step 6 is in the mirror saying back that up as part of my self-affection routine or auto. Yeah, I say that. I say, and then I wink and I blow myself a kiss. Anyway, TMI. Woof. You say, Scoots, that's not. You say, well, okay, affection and delusion. Maybe it's like with a side. I take my self-affection with side of delusion. And a little bit of, you know, a little bit of, you know, whatever that is, joy. Maybe that was joy. Did I just experience joy on the podcast? I don't know. Is that a delusional joy when you're looking at your, you're turned and you're looking at the, you know what I'm doing when I say back that up. And, so, you know, you could also do the sound too. If you really want to have fun, some real self-affection, you go beep, you know, do the beeping sound. I can't do that on a sleep podcast, but so maybe do that and then blow yourself a kiss and wink. Maybe do the finger point with the that sound effect. Okay, so where was I? Oh, if you're new, this podcast is goofy and goes off topic really fast all the time. So it's a podcast you don't need to listen to. You're also under no pressure to fall asleep. I'm going to be here for about an hour to keep you company. So you could drift off at your leisure. But if you can't sleep, I'm here to the very end. I'm dedicated to keeping you company, whether you're awake or asleep. And you can queue up episode after episode. So there's that. Structurally, now this is a little late for a new listener, but the show starts off with a few minutes of business. That's how we keep the podcast free for everybody. Then there's an intro. The intro is around 15 minutes or so of me just going off topic like I've been doing for the past 10 to 11 minutes, where I kind of try to get you used to the idea of the podcast and what to expect. Expect the unexpected. I say, I mean, I'm like, man, I'm like almost blushing with this one. Just because I'm, you know, so they say to talk about vulnerability in podcasting. What were the great vulnerability moments in podcasting? Well, there were the great ones. What were the ones that were like not in the top 200 moments of vulnerability in podcasting, but were examples of kind of vulnerability? Well, when Scoots was talking about looking at his butt in the mirror, that was one. I mean, it was vulnerable for sure. So, what's technically vulnerable in a podcast? So the intros tend to go on and on. For a lot of regular listeners, the idea of the intro is like it's part of your wind-down routine, whether you're getting ready for bed or you're in bed, to ease you off, to let the day fall away. And for me to kind of pull you into this different world, this Scoots world, a safe place where stuff is a bit silly, where like self-affection is a thing, where self-affection runs rampant, I guess, in this case. So that's the intro. Now, a small percentage, it's really weird. It's really a low percentage, like 2 or 3% of people skip ahead. I think because most of the people that skip ahead end up just becoming patrons because you get story-only episodes. But 2 or 3% of people skip ahead to about 20 minutes or 18 minutes and just start listening there because they've decided, yeah, the intro is not really for me. So if you're new, just kind of see how it goes, see what works for you. The podcast rarely works for people on the first try. And I say that just to set expectations because it's like the majority of the feedback I get. Because the podcast is a little bit different. And I'm, you know, on top of that, I'm a lot bit different. That's why I'm here to put you to sleep and take your mind off. So just see how it goes. I think the main thing I try to get across in the intro is like sometimes people have a strong reaction to it the first time, where they think it's like self-indulgent, which I guess talking about, this is about a self-indulgent, but not in a self-indulgent way. I think you should indulge in yourself. I'm not kidding. And, you know, pat your hands, you know, kiss your shoulders. I really think you should have. This is the kind of thing where I actually get serious because it's like, yeah, it's all in fun giving yourself a little affection, but I think you do deserve some affection. It's not easy being human, and I make this podcast because I truly believe you deserve a good night's sleep. So go ahead and let's just do it again. Let's kiss a shoulder, you know? No, you know what? Let's kiss a bicep because it's more of a, no offense to the shoulders, but I don't know which one of you is more kissable, actually. Maybe the shoulder. But the bicep, that was nice, but I guess I got to be in the mood to kiss my bicep. I'm just playing with you. I don't know. Sometimes I'm kidding around, but there's an undertone that you're important to me and your rest is important if I can help in it. Now, I can't. It doesn't work for everybody. That's the downside of the show. It's an acquired taste, but hopefully it works for you. I will say that I'm glad you're here and that you gave me your time, and I really appreciate that, and I work very hard. I yearn and I strive. I really want to help you fall asleep, so thanks again for coming by, and here's a couple of ways we keep this podcast free for everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. All right, everybody. It's Scoots here, and this is going to be a different style episode. I thought someone reached out to me. Because they must have heard we were working on this time capsule, which I'm working on right now. But when you hear this in the future, it'll be something we've already done. But time capsules are a pretty cool and interesting thing to me. And so this person reached out and they said, hey, I'd like to come on the show. I hear you're talking about time capsules and thinking about them. And they said, well, hold on. You want to come on the podcast? And they said, yeah, I'd like to be on the podcast. I said, well, you know, Sleep With Me, we don't have, I said, are you a real person or, a person, where are you speaking to me from? because we only have, we don't have, I said, not to diffuse you, but we don't, I said, I don't know if I could put you in the diffuser, but, like, we don't have typically real guests, in quotey quotes, on the show. And they just said, Hardy, and they said, I'm calling, you know, I said, oh, within my, okay, well, then you probably can come on the show. And so I said, this will be fun, because they told me the idea, and I said, well, that's a pretty good idea. It really interests me, and I'm excited about it. So without further ado, it's going to be really sleepy and stuff, so I'm going to turn it over to our guest to take it from here. Hello, everyone. My name is Betty Veronica, and I'm here to thank you, Scooter, for having me on the show. Don't worry about the spelling of my name, because it's just going to be me. So Scooter won't be saying Betty Veronica. How do I say that? Betty Veronica, or anything. So I'm here. And I don't want to, I do want to say, oh, who, what am I going to talk about? Who am I? And those kind of things are usually what you cover at the top, right? Well, I can assure you this will be lulling and soothing. I consider myself the world's foremost amateur authority or hobbyist authority on anthropology and archaeology of time capsules of ideas, but I'm also in character. I do this in character. I mean, in a character, I play myself, but I try to put myself in the position of someone opening a time capsule in the future, a time capsule of ideas only. And we have a limitless well of, not limitless, but a pretty unlimited well of ideas here to choose from. So in order to choose the ideas, we'll be using a random number generator, just in case you're following along at home. But you don't need to. Really, you could, trust me, I'm going to take you on a little journey here. As someone in the future, I guess I'll be more talking. It's a bit of a thought experiment, I guess you'd say. What would, if someone in the future, we'll say 50 years, we'll say 100 years, or we'll just say imaginary date in the future, they discovered a time capsule of ideas and they just started pulling things out, how would they process them? So I guess, yes. So our first idea here is the idea of brothers, seven. Oh, I already lost my place. 702, that was the random number we got, the first one. And they're looking at this concept of brothers, and maybe it has a little bit larger definition in the future. Maybe siblinghood has been redefined beyond the binary, as it probably should be. So could we live in an era where that's like, but you say, well, there's still, then they'd be looking, maybe they say, well, this is from the past. Maybe the term still has meaning. Now, maybe this is a specific time capsule to Scooter, which would mean it would carry more meaning towards his siblings, Carl, Ted, Ken, and Dan. So I could say that. The other thing I was thinking of is, could it have anything to do with Emmett Otter's, like, where will in 50 or 100 years Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas be? Will they, was there a song in that movie Brothers? I think there was. It was the song that the two friends sang, maybe, and then the mom sang. Will they still know what the tale of the Magi is? Are those two things related? You know, isn't that tale archetypal anyway? Will people not know what tale of the Magi is, and they'll know what Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas is? Will they still? I don't know. And then it leads to the question: what will puppets be like in the future? Marionettes, even. So, just a couple of questions to think about with that term as they uncover that and they say, oh, wow, interesting. Our next random number is 445. And I see the term Les Mis, L-A-M-I-Z. And that would be confusing if that was the only idea they uncovered. Would they know that that is shorthand, or once was shorthand, for Les Miserables, or I don't know how to say it even. What would they know? Would they think of Cosette or Jean Valjean? Would they say, well, why didn't they, Les Mis, why did that need to be shortened? Maybe they would know when peak Les Miserables, that was. Maybe they're listening to the Broadway 2120 revival. And will they do, you know, will there be a point where musicals like that are restaged and rebooted in ways like Shakespeare? Or has probably that already happened? I'm just not aware of it, where they have a version of Les Mis. I guess you'd say, well, if it was Les Mis, would you cross it with The Wiz, which is already a crossover, or not a crossover, but a reimagining of that movie with Dorothy, which is Rainbow in Golden Roads or something. I can't remember what it's called. Somewhere Over the Rainbow? No, it's called The Wizard of Oz. But they would probably think through it like that. Maybe. Maybe they wouldn't know, and they'd say, well, it's Les Mis. I think that was, remember, people back then used to wear perfumes and colognes, and maybe they have the date wrong in the time capsule, so they think it's 1980s, and they'd say, yeah, that was from the makers of Drakkar Noir, Les Mis, scent for everybody who wants to say Les Mis. It sounds French. It sounds like it is the scent for you, Les Mis. When Drakkar Noir is not your scent, but you still want to support our fragrance company, Les Mis. I think those are some roads they would go down. I don't know what, like, is the Les stand for Les Miserables? So I don't know. I do like saying Jean Valjean, though. And it's Cosette, right, and not Coquette. I think Scooter made that mistake at one point in his life. When I first talked to Scooter about the idea, he was distracted by trailers for Frozen 2. And he said to me, I may have met... Scooter used to say, I may have met Kristen Anderson Lopez, but I'm not sure, at a performance of Les Mis. I've tried to trace it back, and I can't be sure if she ever played the innkeeper's wife in a performance in the 90s of Les Mis. And if that's the same person, then that's like maybe the most famous person I ever met. And also, it'd be pretty cool to have met her, but can't be sure. So I guess those are some thoughts about Les Mis, some from the future, some from the past. So we generate another number, another 700 number. 718 is the next random number as we reach in here and we pull out Moving Cloudy Change. Oh, boy. Would that be not easy to process at any time in history if you're pulling it out of a time capsule full of ideas? Moving Cloudy Change. So you'd say, okay, Moving Cloudy Change. Maybe they would say, is that some sort of poem? And they'd say, well, it's poetic, but I wouldn't say it's a poem. they'd say, is it a book title from that dude that wrote all those book titles but never wrote a book? And they'd say, possibly, Moving Cloudy Change. Is moving always change would be another question that would come up. Is it spare change? But is it cloud? Are you being moved to change? They'd say, well, I'm feeling something when I read this, because out of context, it really reminds me of feelings. And maybe these two people that discovered this would sit down and hold hands, or just sit side by side, pondering the words moving, cloudy, change, and what it means to each of them. They might think of life in the future. You know, who knows what it could be, just like now, with just, more screen. You know, who knows? You know, it could be, maybe it's more relaxed. Maybe there's more time to sit and think about stuff. Is it daytime? Are they outside? I mean, I guess I'm picturing them outside processing this. I guess when I told you I'd be in character, I guess I didn't realize it would be in a third person, you know, not omniscient character watching them. We're curious about all the people that could be opening and looking at this. Now, maybe if they said, well, let's put this in a museum for people to come and look at, but we really can only display, would that be the name of the exposition, Moving Cloudy Change? I don't know. Those are some of the ideas that strike me about that. Wow, the next random number is 130. So really getting some range finally from these random number generators. And oh boy, is this another one that is going to be, I would like to be I'd like to be something observing in the future when they uncover this one. Cayenne or Cyan, CGA in the X Factor. In Cayenne or Cyan, I know there's two pronunciations, at least that Scooter's taught me, of that word. So they would, I guess they would break it up. They'd say, okay, like, which, they say X Factor, isn't that a term? And they say, oh no, it was also a television, a reality television show. Back when people used to, it was like based on that schadenfreude, a kind of, that people would like to watch people be judged for their talent. And they said, well, I thought it was more about the thrill of undiscovered talent being discovered. And they said, well, I thought it was like the feeling of like, it's visceral. You know, some people had ups and some people had downs, and it made them, at that time, it made people feel more alive. They didn't even realize it at the time. But it was a visceral thrill, and also the anticipation, maybe something infantile about it too, you know, about wanting that. Some people take that roller coaster going on the downhill. But that was okay too. They just didn't they didn't have, whatever, the Big Lebowski or whoever rules now to tell us to just take a chill. So they say, okay, well, but it was also like a randomness. I guess that kind of sums up the idea of the show. Who's got the X Factor? Yeah, now I guess it's just a term we don't use because, you know, we realize the word, the letter X, you know, now that we've started to communicate in different ways, mostly by dance and fluid motion, we don't really, you know, that we use words so much less, except for now when we're being analyzed for how we'd look at a time capsule. Okay, so that's the X Factor. What about now, Cayenne or Cyan and CGA? Those are interrelated, according to my research. One gives us a clue about the meaning of other. So I guess I'm not sure how they're related to the X Factor in this conceptual practice we're actually participating in right now. CGA was once a way of displaying data on a screen or graphics, particularly on PC and PC clones. It was the there was different graphics cards. And one of the graphics cards very early on was called the CGA, Color Graphics Adapter, I think is what it stood for. And eventually there would be EGA, Enhanced Graphics Adapter, I believe, and then VGA, which I don't know what the V stood for, Graphics Adapter. And I think after that they stopped using those terms, maybe. Maybe they had ZGA, I don't know. But CGA, I believe, was only capable of displaying four colors, CGA, cayenne. Maybe it just stood for that, cayenne, no. It was like a light blue, a light purple, maybe only white, and then the absence of color, I guess, in this case, because the monitors... I think, or it could switch over and it could display, I believe, shades of green. I don't know if it could even do shades now that I'm thinking about it. You know, based on our, you know, the great, that class we took in fourth grade, History of Graphics Adapters. That was one of my favorite classes as a child. But the other one could be green and yellow, maybe. Maybe white, I guess. So that was one kind. And then EGA, I think, had 16 colors, and then VGA had 256 colors, maybe. But then when you get into those more colors, you could, you know, do more with them. I do know that Scooter had a CGA card, and then eventually they had a VGA card. But I don't think their computer, their PC clone could handle it. But then the era of buying, there was a time where you just stopped buying PC clones and then you got, you know, used ones. And then Scooter was out on his own. So I think that's what it's probably referring to, because one of the colors was cayenne. RGB was a monitor, red, green, blue. Red, green, and blue, right? And CGA, cayenne, I don't know where that comes from. CGA, cayenne, green, and amber. That's not it. I think it's color graphics adapter. But you would need a RGB monitor to display this kind of stuff. I think, you know, this was back before we had total vision, which are now we don't need to think about any of this stuff. So, okay, well, that was an interesting one to analyze. Let's see. Oh, wow, this one is 31, right in our wheelhouse here. Not that far back. Oh, boy, this one is called Vice Heaven. And I think in the future they would say, they would also have to contextualize it with what they've already uncovered, I think. So they'd say Vice Heaven. And they'd say, okay, well, that's interesting. Vice Heaven, you know, Vice Heaven, you know, remember when they had those belief systems? There was the good place and the bad place, and Heaven was the good place, you know. No, is that like Big Farm in the Sky? No, different concept. Like, this was more of a all or nothing style thinking. Ah, okay, that makes sense. And what about vice? Tell me what vice means back then. Well, vice back then, it meant kind of a couple different things, and I think I'm going to take a shot at this one. You know, vice was something that wasn't necessarily good for you, or indulgent, maybe detrimental to you or someone else, kind of like they used to drink these sugar drinks. That was a vice. Or there was other ones, but that was the main one, you know, we look back at and wonder about. They say, why, that's interesting, you know, why we can just dance and we feel good. Yeah, this made them, you know, it was a different time back then. So, but I think this is one, these are two words, they're both capitalized, Vice Heaven. Now, to me, that means it's a title. Have all the words been capitalized? Maybe. I don't know. I wasn't paying attention to that. But so to me, Vice Heaven, and I'm thinking about it in the timeline of what we're uncovering, it was probably a name of what they would call a TV show, because this seems to be, you know, that other last one. Now, back then, you couldn't watch TVs on your TV on your computer, but so you wouldn't be watching TV with a CGA card. But it just says to me like a show. Well, what do you think the TV show would be about? Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think it would probably be about, like, so Vice sometimes was a team of investigators rooting out Vice. Because if it was detrimental to other people, they'd say, well, we can't do this. It's detrimental to other people for your own enjoyment. Well, could you give me an example of that? Well, remember, remember when they discovered that sidewalk chalk was like, it did change the sidewalks, and that clumsy people like Scooter could take a trip on that. Yeah, so they discovered that, that even though many people poo-pooed the idea that drawing on chalk, with chalk on sidewalks, no one believed it for 30 or 40 years that, until Scooter, proved it, Scooter versus Sidewalk Chalk Incorporated, that it changed the texture and raised up by billionths of inches for people like him to trip over. For a long time, it was considered a pleasurable thing, mostly for children or artists, to draw with chalk on the sidewalk. But once they discovered that, it became a choice. Well, this isn't good for clumsy people. And so for most people, they stopped. But for some people, it was a vice. And they said, well, I don't care. I'm going to draw on sidewalks. It brings me pleasure. And so a vice team would go and investigate that. They'd say, and this sounds like something that would happen in heaven. And so probably that was like a plot of an episode of the TV show. Was a team, maybe it was a pair of detectives, I don't know. And they said, we got a case. They said, oh, tell me about this case. Well, it's sad. Look at these pictures. Oh, they're beautiful. Is that the Pietà? No, that's the chapel of Michael, that the thing, the ceiling with the... Oh, wow. Whoa, is that really a well? It looks like it's 3D. No, it's just a painting, a drawing. Wow, these are really impressive pictures. Well, I got bad news for you. They're sidewalk chalk art. You're kidding me. My heart is breaking when you're telling me that. And it's our job to track down whoever did this. Whomever did it? Maybe, and bring them to justice, because it's been calculated that one out of every million people that walk over these could trip, and that's just not right. That's right, it's another case of Vice Heaven. So I think that's probably what it was. Okay, that's interesting. It makes total sense to me. I mean, probably not a show I would watch. But it sounds like it could have been a show back then. Okay, 473 is our next number. Okay, I know I was right on that last one, because this one is Laurel and Hardy's March of the Wooden Soldiers. Holy cow, that's interesting. That what does that even mean? I don't understand. Laurel and Hardy's means it's a possessive. And then March of the Wooden Soldiers. Soldiers were made of wood at some point in history? In the last 100 years, I didn't learn about that in school. No. This was a movie, a film. So this is interesting. So I guess that lines up with my last guess, because this was just simply a movie. Laurel and Hardy were a comedy team. I guess this is the most easiest one we had. It makes me feel like we should probe it more. But Laurel and Hardy made a movie called March of the Wooden Soldiers, also known as Babes in Toyland. I don't know much about the history when the first version of the movie was made, but it was remade many times. Oh, could you, you know, I'm not familiar with either Laurel and Hardy or the film. Could you tell me more about that in case you're right? Okay, Laurel and Hardy were a comedy team, and I think they were in vaudevillian, but I'm not 100% sure because I don't have all my data, you know, access to all of my fluid data right now. But they were just a comedy team. They made movies, they made shorts. I think they probably performed in person. And they kind of had a thing where one of them was very, actually had a lot of vices, not obvious vices, mostly being grouchy and knowing everything and being selfish, I think. And the other one was more of like a, in the moment, had a little childlike naivete, as they say in former France. And was pretty nice, and usually had, you know, like the accidental genius kind of thing. It doesn't sound funny at all. Why would they spend time together? Well, I think, you know, that maybe they were friends, you know, opposites. They said, and they think that they just intersected in a way that they could usually resolve whatever the challenge was in the movie just by being themselves. Oh, you know, it's also inspiring because they would be eventually overcome their selfishness and maybe obliviousness, or I don't know, to solve and normally help people in some way or give comeuppance to some sort of authority figure. Oh, interesting. And so what was the March of the Wooden Soldiers part in Babes in Toyland? So they lived in this particular film. It was a holiday-esque film because it happened in the world of Toyland, which was an isolationist kingdom, I believe, populated by characters from Mother Goose's like nursery rhymes that also produced some of the toys for Santa Claus. Don't you mean Roberta Claus? No, this was before Roberta Claus existed. Predates Roberta Claus. I didn't even know that was a thing. Yeah, it was. And so so that was the kingdom they lived in. And basically what happened was that there was someone there. I don't know. It was confusing, but I think someone tried to take over the town, and then they stopped them, more or less, as a short version. Because I don't want to totally spoil it for you, you know. Okay, well, that's interesting. What's our next number? Actually, it's just 419. Okay, so what is 419? It's the known mower. The known mower. The gnome mower or the known mower? The known mower. K-N-O-W-N. Okay, the known mower. That is, so this must be, could I take a shot at it? Because you've had them all so far. Yeah, you can. Go ahead. Okay, the known mower definitely sounds like something from an ancient belief system. Okay, I'm hearing you. Tell me more. The known mower. So it means something. So it sounds like it's connected to the earth. But maybe not exactly a wholesome, maybe about control of the earth. So maybe some sort of belief system, maybe not like that belief system that was popular for 30 years in the middle there. Where it was more gray belief. Yeah, I remember that. I don't remember. Tell me more about what you're thinking. Yeah, and I think that would make sense that they praised someone called the known mower. Like, if you're not painting in all or nothings, it's someone that's mowed or believes that you should have green grass everywhere. They're a known quantity. So it's like they're not an other. They're known. But they aren't exactly so they're not doing good or bad. But they could do better. You say, well, have you heard about drought tolerant plants? What are your thoughts about gravel? Like the known mower, you could have a conversation at night and you could say, oh, known mower, you know, I know that my consumption patterns, are like yours, not perfect. And, you really helped me accept my humanity and the fact that I have impact no matter what I do. Please, maybe the known mower actually was a reform god. Okay, so the known mower maybe stopped mowing and then learned about drought-tolerant plants and those kind of things. Or, yeah, depending on the region, right? Because not every region has drought-tolerant plants. Right, they might have said, well, where would, like, do I really, I know I, like, think about having grass and lying in it and my neighbor saying, hey, sharp-looking grass there, you just mowed it. But, yeah, does that really, I would love to get out, I might start taking a few prayers to the known mower. I really thank you for introducing me to this, this god, goddess, demigod. I think really it helps me love my humanity in all its flavors. That's why we have the goddess of flavor. I mean, I guess maybe it's very similar to that. It just like the idea that the known mower, really captures, it really showed how we made it here. The decline of the sense of other and the realization of acceptance of impact and then moving towards change. That's a powerful thing. Interesting. I guess that's why they put it in there. Okay, what's our next number? 627 it is. Okay, this one is Melorama. One word, Melorama. I guess we're getting a lot of Melorama. Melorama. I'm stumped at Melorama. So I guess we could try to break it into, things. Mellow was like, from my experience, was like a phrase. It could mean mild. But it was also like an enhancing phrase. So you'd say, well, that's like a descriptive phrase. And also had like a, it could be used in not a slang way, but as a description of your feelings. If your feelings were mild, but in a chill, like remember that word chillax they taught us in our master's class? Oh, yeah, love that. A history of chillaxing. From something to cheaty. I remember all the stuff about the good play. That was so interesting. But this, so mellow is a little bit like chilling. But you could also say, oh, that flavor's mellow. We still use that word. We just have that way you move your elbow to describe it. Oh, yeah, but this says more than just mellow to me. Right. But so that's mellow. Melorama. Now, rama is another interesting word. Now, rama usually would be used in a sense of like it was a commercialized word. I don't know if this is a portmanteau. Maybe send out some spiritual messages to the great illusionist to find out more if that is a portmanteau. I don't think rama was ever an actual word. But Rama was kind of usually be used in a commercialized way. So to mean a collection or an experience or a festival, but not just meaning that. I think the first places that had it were roller skating rinks were always ended in Rama. Like Skate-O-Rama. Sometimes they would add the word O to it. So Melorama is an actual accidental pun using that convention, which is even more interesting. So what does roller skating have to do with it? Well, there was a time when a couple different periods where roller skating inside in rinks in circles to music, it was really fun. I'm surprised it hasn't come back. Maybe, do you want to start it? Yeah, we could call it Mellorama. Wait a second. We could go into business together. You're right. A relaxation, a place to chillax, and a place to skate. Mellorama. That must have been what it was, because they did have, a lot of people were searching for relaxation. I don't know how those two things align. Like, I guess it's relaxing after you skate. So maybe you would go roller skating. You'd do the hokey pokey. You'd turn yourself around and have all that fun. And then, yeah, have a relaxation time. So I guess that makes sense. Okay, so yeah, I guess that would be what Mellorama was. And what it will be if we do it together. I love that idea. Okay, what's our next number? Our next number is 299. Okay, this one is another one that's going to take some probing. It's Creole MacGyver. Okay, Creole MacGyver. That sounds interesting to me, but easy too. Because I know we had just recently talked about MacGyver. Yeah, so MacGyver was a TV show, rebooted a couple ways. So I guess, yeah, this is, I guess, another straightforward one. Now, this kind of seems a little distasteful to me that they would do a Creole MacGyver. So maybe it was something more open-minded than that. Or maybe it was a juxtaposition or something that we're not understanding. But that would make sense unless it was some sort of food dish that we're not aware of. That may make more sense. What about if it was a restaurant? What if it was a Creole restaurant? What do you think about that? Because you were getting the title sense. And I was getting the MacGyver sense because it is the word MacGyver. Oh, so you're saying Creole MacGyver, a restaurant, a Creole restaurant. Well, I was recently, you know, I'm working on my PhD on some stuff, and I've been watching this TV show called Top Chef. You know, you were telling me about it the other day. And so a lot of those, there was an era during those programs where people were trying to, they were called molecular gastronomists or something. Wiley Dufresne, I think, and now I'm forgetting some of the other names. What was his name? The one that was on the show. Not Richard Hatch. He was on Survivor. That's what I did my second master's in. Richard Blaze, that was his name. And some other people, they were molecularists. So they would take foods. So I could see that being a restaurant where it's like the food's MacGyvered, and so, like, the theme isn't MacGyver the TV show, but it's the essence of a MacGyver. Okay, I think you're correct. Well, thank you. That's interesting. But I would like to eat there, Creole MacGyver. I mean, I would like to eat there under only a certain, I'll be honest with you, because I say, well, if it was run by Richard Dean Anderson, that would be interesting. But if it was, you know, someone with a legitimate Creole connection, and in my opinion, I would only eat there if there was you know what I'm saying? I totally hear you. I have no objection to that at all. Okay, what's our next one? Is 457 the next number we have to probe on? Okay, so what is it? Sylvan Beach Stroll. Okay. What are your impressions of it? Well, my first impression is Brighton Beach Memoirs, just because that just popped in my head when I saw Sylvan Beach Stroll. I don't know. If that's a thing, Sylvan Beach Stroll. Oh, you know what I'm thinking it might be? What? A dance. Like, doesn't that sound like some sort of dance? I mean, it could be a descriptor of an actual, it could be like a 5K. Oh, yeah, those are popular. A 5K that you could walk or some sort of fundraising thing. Or, yeah, one of those community, like a festival, the Sylvan Beach Stroll. Oh, yeah, but when you say it like that, the Sylvan Beach Stroll, it does sound like a dance. And it has that just rhythm to the words, the Sylvan Beach Stroll. Yeah, and it would have to capture that essence of a boardwalk, seaside amusements or lakeside amusements, the nostalgia of dancing. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, maybe we could, do you think we could, maybe I'll work on that as, it could see if I could get a grant, or maybe I'll just do it for fun and I could investigate the Sylvan Beach Stroll and we could bring it back. I mean, with, you know, dancing's just so much more important now. I'm surprised we haven't heard of this dance, yeah, and if it's not, if we're wrong, we could just invent that dance. Wow, you it's almost like we're on the X Factor now. Oh, you're so funny. Okay, what's the next number? The next number, I don't know about this random number generator, 499. Okay, well, don't question its randomness. Just accept it. 499 is Mosaic Memories. 499, Mosaic Memories. Okay, well, that's interesting. Mosaic Memories is, that sounds like a store. Well, I don't know what else it could be other than a place to go to buy memories done in mosaics. I'd say it could be that. It could be a retrospective of a mosaic artist, or it could be the title of a work in mosaic, or a themed exhibition of a mosaic, you know? Oh, yeah. What about a book by one of the great mosaics? I mean, I have no background in mosaics, so I don't know who the great mosaic artists are. But a background, you know, it could be their autobiography or a biography or a historical look at mosaic art, mosaic memories. It would be interesting, you know, because they're broken pieces, but that's very, I mean, it could have a subtitle. Oh, it could be a book, just a book title made up by the guy that makes up book titles and doesn't write books too. Oh, you're right. That is interesting. But Mosaic Memories, I feel like that could be one of those things. Oh, you know what else could be? Is a descriptor. Like maybe it was a slang term for when your thoughts are a little bit scrambled. Oh, wow. Like I have Mosaic Memories, man. Can't remember, like can't quite make, you know? Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess that makes sense. Like, then that's really the truth. Maybe it was a book like that or some sort of research, Mosaic Memories. What a beautiful way to describe it. Maybe it was an empowered descriptor. Yeah, just a case, another case of Mosaic Memories. Ah, they would say, I like that. I accept that as the answer. Okay, we're almost to the bottom of this time capsule of ideas, and yet another 400 number comes up. 438 is Dormant Doormat. Oh, wow. This one, we already know what it is. Yeah, this was one of the great, wow, this is like, this is interesting that it's in here, because this is one of the foundational children books of, not everyone's belief system, but what we're trying, you know, an open-ended belief system that everyone's trying to work into their own belief systems. The best-selling children's book, I believe, of all time until, whatever that last one was, that was inherently snackable. That's, oh, yeah. That's a children's book? I know, kids today. In 2820 or whatever year it is, But yeah, the Dormant Doormat. Remember reading that book? Oh, do I? It really helped, let me know that sometimes it's okay to feel like a dormant doormat. But then, that it really taught me the steps to soft power and empowerment in accepting other people's setting boundaries. Wow, that's really what you got out of it. Holy cow, that's it. That's great. Why did you get something different out of it? I mean, I took it as, this is not to take away from what you said, is the power of dormancy, of patience, the whole idea of Ignatius kind of played into it. I mean, I guess that's just from what I've studied. Oh, of discernment. Yeah, you're right. But I agree with you also of boundaries, of acceptance of self, and that also accepting that sometimes it just feels that way. I mean, that's like sometimes everybody feels like a doormat. It was like before that book, it probably would have been the saddest words ever spoken. But now it's one of the things that unites so many of us. Not everyone has read The Dormant Doormat. But everyone has had that experience. So that was, who do you think wrote that book? Because it said unknown, by an unknown, it's the most best-selling book by an unknown author. Well, what I heard was that the entire book was imaginary. Really? Like imaginary within an imaginary world? Yeah, it was an imaginary book within an imaginary world. But real empowerment. Oh, wow. So that's, that is complex stuff. But I really like that title, The Dormant Doormat. I mean, I'm sure that, also a good use of alliteration. Yeah, it makes me just want to curl up and think about that, those opening pages. Yeah, let's get comfortable. Yeah, those opening pages of, once upon a time, there was a doormat. And then I think that, yeah, there was that picture of the doormat there. The door, wasn't it like the doormat was deep, deep asleep? In some sense, the doormat was dormant. And then one day, with all the mud, that was like the part with all the mud and the rain, and then they talked about the who lived, who needed the doormat, the whole building, and everybody, all the diversity of characters that lived in that building, but they all had to go through the mud, and that's when they needed the doormat. Yeah, but then they, start, and then the part where they, and what about me? And then the doormat, and then that's what we all learned. Oh yeah, what a story. Yeah, I think I'm going to lie down and sleep. Oh, so am I. Yeah, that's, because that's why I'm Veronica Betty here, looking back through this time capsule of ideas. Good night. All right, I wanted to thank everybody who reviewed the show on Apple Podcasts recently. If you want to review the show, you could go to you could just go open the Apple Podcasts app on your phone or your computer, desktop, laptop, whatever, if you listen there. So I wanted to thank Hippie Chick with an iPhone who said, I can actually sleep now. Thank you, Scooter. Smiley face. Thank you. And Omelette of Dom says, finally some sleep. Work nights, so my only schedule of sleep is during the daytime. My brain gets restless. This beautiful podcast has brought me comfort. I'm loving it. Sometimes pay attention to what it's saying, but it takes my mind off of my head. Keep it up. Thank you. I can't give myself a nickname. That's, they say it works. It's not like anything else I'll ever listen to. It's not 100% cure, but not bogus either. Thank you. I want to thank AFCAJ from Canada, who says, love you, Scoots. Been listening for over a year now. Can't explain how much the podcast has helped me. Thank you. And actually, I think that's it. Let me check CastBox, because I know people post on there. Thanks, everybody, for taking the time to share with other people, too. Scoots is here. I'm thanking you. I'm here with you right now. If you can't sleep, that's why I'm still talking. Okay, here's CastBox. Jill and Maddie both took time to say nice things. Thank you. Manny, thank you. Tallulah, thanks. Thanks and good night. Somebody asked why the intro is so long. So if anybody uses CastBox, you can explain it. Flix said, can anyone explain this to me? Found it last night. I have no idea what he's saying. It did work. I can't even understand what he's saying. Chad, who likes the census party. And another Chad likes, and Professor Rob and Joanna, they all love it when cats jump into bed when the stuff starts playing. So thanks everybody who commented on there. And everybody who takes the time to support the show by other means. Sleeping Me exists as a free podcast because the listeners that support the show on Patreon and support our sponsors. And the way we grow is just people naturally spreading the word to people in their life online or in person. And also showing people that it's free, and most apps have a podcast, free podcast app installed. So, take the time to show people, everybody, that people that don't already listen to podcasts might not know. And they say, oh, wait a second, it's free? And there's cool podcasts? You could show them a bunch of your favorites. So that's it. And here's a podcast I want to let you know about from Night Vale Presents. Thanks. All right, everybody, this is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just about to hit my 4-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Lux. And I took that Helix quiz. I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress it matched me with, the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux because Helix has like 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Lux collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping in it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs that extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix sleep quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back. And they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15-year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine is a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word. This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.